Next case for argument is United States v. Radzewski. Mr. Sannon.
May it please the court, counsel. Your honors, my name is Nishay Sannon. I represent the appellant, defendant Jacek Radzewski. Your honors, we've raised several issues on appeal in this matter. This matter stems from a mail fraud scheme and a wire fraud conviction after trial of Jacek Radzewski. The first issue that I'd like to discuss before this court is whether the district court abused its discretion in denying the defendant the opportunity to raise a good faith defense at trial. The background of the good faith defense and the court's barring of such starts with the defendant filing a motion to dismiss count one based on lack of specificity and lack of specific bad allegations of intent of the defendant.
Let me just stop you right there. But didn't the defendant have an opportunity to present a good faith defense in that he put forth that he thought these were bona fide loans, and really the only restriction the court had was trying to show that he was going to repay one loan that to a bank he had defrauded with funds he had defrauded from another institution.
Your Honor, that was what the argument that was made during pretrial. However, it wasn't until during the course of the trial and the order that was entered by Judge Anderson and what request the government made, the government asked that the defendant be denied the ability to raise any good faith defense. That's in their cross motion to bar the good faith defense. The court then ordered that the defendant is barred from making a good faith defense. The only issue that is the court defined in its order was the issue that Your Honor just raised. It wasn't again until jury instructions, one day before this trial was over, where again the government objected to any good faith defense being raised, and that's in the transcripts at approximately page 915. The court then allowed the defendant to argue, at least during closing, that what he did wasn't just general good faith. However, from the start of the trial up until that point, when the door was reopened and the court allowed him, almost at the end of the government's case, was he allowed to argue that what he believed he was doing, he was acting in good faith, not the argument that was raised initially. Initially, when the court denied a good faith argument, they denied any good faith argument to be made based on the order and based on what the government had asked.
And did the defendant proffer any evidence to substantiate the good faith defense?
Judge, during at least the briefing of the pretrial, it was raised, but the judge and the government misconstrued what the argument was. The argument was made in the defendant's brief that he should be able to raise at least a good faith argument, not only that one bank was paid, therefore the intent couldn't be there by repaying from another bank.
So then what evidence, again, was presented to the district court of the good faith other than paying one bank off with defrauded funds?
Judge,
I'm talking about at the time of the motion, was there evidence presented?
Judge, the argument was made whether or not the defendant could just raise that he acted in good faith, not put the banks aside, whether or not what transactions were taking place he believed to be legitimate transactions.
So I guess what I'm getting at is what evidence was barred during the course of the trial that supported the good faith defense?
Judge,
was there any evidence barred? I mean, since you had the opportunity to argue it and you can't point to any specific evidence that was barred, I guess that's what I want to know.
Judge, at the time during the trial, based on the order entered by Judge Anderson, all good faith evidence was barred. It wasn't until the jury instructions where the judge said, well, if you want to argue that he acted in good faith, believing that the transactions were actually legitimate, not whether one bank was going to be repaid by another, that's when he was allowed in closing arguments to argue that he was simply just translating for another individual who spoke Polish. But that door wasn't opened up by the judge until jury instructions started. He was barred from the start of the trial up to that point to raise any good faith based on the order that was entered by the judge. The judge, in his order, states the government's motion to preclude a good faith defense is granted. And it's the government was asking in its initial filing, the cross motion to bar good faith defense, to bar all good faith, not just that one bank would have been repaid by another bank. So Mr. Radzewski was completely denied the ability during at least the first three quarters of this trial to raise any good faith defense whatsoever. I mean, the government in their brief says that he had the opportunity to raise it. However, that's wrong. If you look at the transcripts from page 915 on to 919, that's the first time the door is open to allow him to raise the fact where the judge says, okay, you can argue that you thought you were legitimately doing the proper thing, but you're still not going to be allowed to argue the issue of one bank being paid by the other bank. So he was denied during the prosecution's case in chief the ability to raise any argument of good faith, not just the issue of the banks. And as this court knows, a defendant has the right to raise a defense and have a jury consider it if there is sufficient evidence. But in this case, he wasn't even given the opportunity to go into the evidence either on cross of the government's witnesses until the jury instruction conference, which at that point is too late. And unless Your Honors has any other questions, I see I'm limited on time. I'd like to save some time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. Senator. Carolyn?
Good morning, Your Honors. Michael Gerland on behalf of the United States. I'm going to limit my remarks to the one issue that was raised by Mr. Sannon. It's not the case that Judge Anderson barred the defendant from making any claim of good faith if he could come up with one. The motion made by the government was very specific in requesting that defendant not be permitted to argue that robbing Peter to pay Paul negated the fraud in the first place. The money that was obtained from Washington Mutual Bank was obtained by means of a loan application that contained or was based upon false appraisal information, fake bank information, fake employment information, and it's not contested at this point that all of those lies were proven and that money was parted with based on those lies. The law is very clear that any intention to repay, however well meant, does not vitiate the original fraud. And that was specifically what the government sought to exclude. And the judge's order, which is actually attached to defendant's original motion, indicates that in granting the government's motion to preclude a good faith defense, that they were specifically going to the fact that the Seventh Circuit had held that a defendant's ultimate intention to make good on a debt is irrelevant to his intent to obtain the victim's money through deceptive means. That was all that was at issue. And in fact, Judge Anderson, after issuing that, or before he issued that ruling, had given the defendant time to try and come up with or tell the court if there was some other good faith defense he wanted to raise, had suggested potential good faith defenses that might exist. Defendant was permitted to argue that he was a translator, and he wasn't in any way hampered by the ruling because he, in fact, put on a long, convoluted defense that he was a victim of a fraud committed by Adam Buttar and Rizard Rutowski and the like. So I would submit that the government's, the district court's decision was reasonable, it was right, and defendant was not prevented from putting on any good faith defense.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. Sannon, how much time does he have left?
Your Honors, with all due respect to Mr. Gerland, if you look at the record, their brief, which is the cross motion to bar any good faith defense, it's record 67. In there, they specifically asked that the court bar any good faith defense. The conclusion, one sentence, bar any good faith defense. And
well,
that's
did,
what the,
did they explain why they wanted that?
Judge, it's the most majority of the argument is to whether robbing Peter to pay Paul argument is set forth in the brief. But then they simply sum up by saying bar all good faith defenses.
Well, don't you want to read that in context?
Judge, if it says bar any, it doesn't specifically say they can't raise just this argument with all.
Yeah, but if they've given a specific reason for their concern, which is this clearly inadmissible good faith defense, and then they have a line that says bar any good faith defense. Isn't the natural way to read that is, I mean, they're referring to a defense that makes that argument. If you wanted to make some unrelated argument of good faith, you'd say to the judge, does this mean I can't make this completely unrelated argument?
I don't disagree that the trial attorney would have had the opportunity to ask to make a different argument. But when the government's motion is granted and the judge says a good faith defense is barred, then the issue of good faith.
You ask the judge, what exactly do you mean? Do you mean any good? Do you mean I can't even argue that he didn't understand this was illegal, or, you know?
Judge, that door wasn't opened up again until three-quarters of this trial was...
Why didn't the lawyer open it immediately?
Judge, I can't speak for the trial lawyer.
Well, if he dropped the ball, right, that's not the government's fault.
I don't disagree with you there, Judge.
So that's why I was asking originally what evidence was precluded. Like, was there a cross-examination of a witness, for example, that would this witness's testimony would have gone to a good faith defense? And the government then objected, you know, and the court kept out that evidence. That's what I was trying to get to. What evidence? I mean, when you look at this, it just says a good faith defense, and the order really does speak to the robbing Peter to pay Paul situation.
Judge, throughout the trial, is my interpretation of the record. Again, I was not the trial lawyer in this matter. If you read the trial record from start until the jury instructions, the trial counsel did not raise or was... I'm assuming he understood this to mean he couldn't raise anything until the door was opened again.
So there was no cross-examination on issues that might have shed light on this good faith defense?
No, there was not, because...
There was no attempt to clarify the court's ruling or anything else.
That's how I read the record, Judge.
What did he argue at closing argument? What issues besides the robbing Peter?
At closing argument, the argument was made that basically Mr. Rajeski was used as an interpreter. They tried to come back with the basic good faith argument that he did lack the specific intent.
That's one, the translator. What else?
That when he understood this to be a legitimate transaction between the houses. But prior to that point, he was barred on crossing their witnesses as to what his intent or what was understood or what was spoken as to what the deals or transactions were to be. At the end, he was able to argue the basic good faith defense, which he didn't argue in the beginning based on the order. He could have started from day one of this trial arguing that he understood this to be a legitimate transaction where he was going to rehab the property, that the property was going to be sold again and refinanced.
And they couldn't go in there and cross-examination? They don't have to label that good faith. Let's just... reasons or what he thought was going on or something.
But, Judge, it supports a good faith basis, which under mail fraud and wire fraud, usually the defense is good faith. And he didn't have the opportunity to do that until three-quarters into this trial, based on the order that the judge entered, based on what the government had asked for in its motions. If there's no other questions, I see that I'm out of time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Thank you.
And Mr. Gerland.